Pelton says all of aviation, not just GA, must work together. John Glenn says the shuttles should stay in service. And two congressmen don't like U.S. dollars buying Russian helicopters. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, June 23rd, 2010. This month's speaker at the Washington Aero Club's monthly luncheon was Jack Pelton, CEO of Cessna, who told attendees Monday that all aviation stakeholders, not just GA, must work together to ensure the health of the industry. The FAA expects the number of student pilots nationwide to fall to a 10-year low of about 69,000 next year. That will equate to a drop of nearly 30% during the first decade of the 21st century. Pelton commented, quote, "This is a problem for all of us in aviation, and all of us should be part of the solution. Gone are the days when the military was producing all the pilots the airlines could absorb, or when a broader GI Bill funded expansive flight training for veterans returning to civilian life. We need legislation that fosters and stimulates our industry," unquote. Regarding the environment, he also noted that efficiencies driven by the market are also reducing emissions, but added, quote, "The philosophy of the Lindbergh Foundation has it right. We must pursue policies and practices that balance progress and technology with environmental sensitivity," unquote. Pelton also praised the cooperation between the industry and regulators on the shift to GPS-based air traffic control. Quote, "That is the only way to truly ensure the safety, efficiency, and economic and environmental benefits we are all counting on from NextGen," unquote. The first American to orbit the Earth has come out in favor of keeping NASA's shuttle fleet flying until a suitable U.S.-based replacement can be developed. Former astronaut and U.S. Senator John Glenn says that current plans will leave the U.S. dependent on Russian launch vehicles for as long as 10 years. That's a much more bleak forecast than most. In a 9-page report published by the John Glenn School of Public Affairs at Ohio State University, Glenn suggests that there will be minimal savings in conducting crew rotation missions using seats on Soyuz capsules, and additional costs to train and recover astronauts traveling that way. He adds that commercial space companies are unproven, especially in regard to safety. Quote, "Why terminate a perfectly good system that has been made more safe and reliable through many years of development? The shuttles are the world's most advanced spacecraft," unquote. Glenn's comments on the shuttle's safety contrast sharply with those of former NASA Administrator Michael Griffin, who called the shuttle an inherently risky design, which will get more risky as the spacecraft ages even further. In April of 2008, Griffin told a Senate panel, quote, "We currently assess the permission risk as about 1 in 75 of having a fatal accident. If one were to do, as some have suggested, fly the shuttle for an additional 5 years, say 2 missions a year, the risk would be about 1 in 12 that we would lose another crew," unquote. The arguments to extend the program are now largely moot. The decision to retire the fleet in 2010 was reached way back in 2004, and NASA has been planning for the end for some time. On a positive note, SpaceX CEO Elon Musk has said that his company's Dragon spacecraft, built to ride into orbit atop the Falcon 9 rocket, could very well be ready for manned missions sooner than NASA's official expectations. Two congressmen have taken the Department of Defense to task for its decision to purchase 10 Russian-built Mi-17 helicopters next year as it helps to create an Afghanistani air force. The Pentagon has reportedly already paid $648 million to buy or refurbish 31 of the aircraft. Senators Richard Shelby, an Alabama Republican, and Chris Dodd, a Democrat from Connecticut, said the government should reconsider and purchase U.S.-built aircraft. The Washington Post quotes Shelby as saying, quote, "The Mi-17 program either has uncoordinated oversight or simply none at all. The results have led to massive waste, cost overruns, schedule delays, safety concerns, and major delivery problems," unquote. General Mohammad Dahran, chief of the Afghan Air Corps, says retraining the pilots to fly new types late in their careers would be difficult. Brigadier General Michael Borea, the U.S. general in charge of rebuilding the Afghan Air Corps, said the Mi-17s are well-suited to the area and that the senators need to, quote, "get beyond the fact that it's Russian," unquote. Up next on ANN, a plane is down in Canada just after releasing an advertising banner. Bonhom takes New York in the Red Bull Series. And the U.S. and EU agree to seek next-gen interoperability. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. The Canadian Transportation Safety Board is looking into a fatal accident in which a banner plane crashed and burned Sunday just after releasing a banner following a two-hour flight. The Vancouver Sun reports the plane went down in a parking lot in Markham, Ontario, about 25 miles north of Toronto. The name of the pilot has not been released. Markham is the same town where a Cirrus SR-22 with two aboard suffered an apparent electrical problem and crashed through the roof of Thinkway Toys on May 25th. Both on board were killed, and two workers in the building suffered minor injuries. Both flights also departed Buttonville Municipal Airport in Toronto. The staff there has issued a statement stressing its, quote, good and credible record for safe aircraft operations at this airport, unquote. The first ever stop in New York for the Red Bull Air Race Tour saw Britain's Paul Bonhom take first place before a crowd of 75,000 and a live U.S. TV audience. He made superb runs through three pressure-packed rounds to edge countryman Nigel Lamb and American Kirby Chambliss, who finished second and third. Hannes Arc of Austria was very slightly ahead of Bonhom when his wingtip clipped a pylon through a gate, triggering a six-second penalty and turning what might have been a record fourth straight victory into a non-podium finish. Red Bull says organizers have dreamed of staging a race in New York since the sport was launched in 2003. Bonhom said after his winning final run, quote, it's very good, and what a setting. I can appreciate the view now that I've finished racing. Great day. I concentrated on me, my airplane, and the track, and now I think we can celebrate a bit, unquote. New York was the fifth stop on this year's tour. Three remain, all of them in Europe. Get details at redbullairrace.com. The European Commission and the FAA have officially concluded negotiations for the establishment of a Memorandum of Cooperation in Civil Aviation Research and Development. The two delegations, led by Hank Krakowski, FAA Chief Operating Officer, and Daniel Calleja, the European Commission's Director of Air Transport, met in Madrid last week. On Friday, the negotiating parties initialed the memo and a first technical annex promoting interoperability between CSAR in Europe and NextGen in the U.S. Additional annexes are anticipated, covering aviation safety, especially addressing the impact of volcanic ash clouds, and of use of alternative fuels in aviation. The European Commission will propose the text for formal adoption, then present it to the Council and the European Parliament for approval, in expectation of an agreement that would take effect in 2011. Still ahead, the 2010 Air Race Classic will include an ANNer. USPA recognizes Chris Needles for a lifetime of work. And here's who won that Storch ride in Florida last weekend. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, June 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. ANN's own Kristen Jern and fellow aviatrix Matey Greco are two of the pilots entered in this year's Air Race Classic. That's an all-women race which attracts pilots from around the world. The 34th annual race begins in Fort Myers, Florida, and travels through Georgia, Alabama, Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and West Virginia to finish in Frederick, Maryland 3 days later. The race is conducted entirely VFR and covers 2,483 statute miles, June 22nd through the 25th. Kristen has logged 1,200 hours and has participated in the race twice before. Matey has 7,500 hours, but is a first-timer in this event. The ladies have created a webpage for their effort at www.airracechicks.org. They're being sponsored by Abingdon Watches, which are designed specifically for female pilots, and updates during the event will be posted through the Abingdon Watches Facebook fan page. We wish all this year's participants a safe event, but we can't help but wish Kristen and Matey the best times. The U.S. Parachute Association has bestowed its highest honor, the USPA Lifetime Achievement Award, on Chris Needles, former executive director of the association. USPA is a nonprofit organization that promotes safe skydiving nationwide and represents the sport before the aviation industry. The Lifetime Achievement Award recognizes outstanding sportsmanship, skill, or personal contribution to the sport of parachuting and USPA. Needell's involvement with the organization dates to 1963, when it was still called the Parachute Club of America. He's a former U.S. Army Golden Knight, who became USPA's executive director in 1994 and served almost 14 years, retiring in 2007. He now serves as a trustee for the National Skydiving Museum. Needles will receive the Lifetime Achievement Award at a special ceremony the evening of July 16th at the conclusion of the USPA General Membership Meeting at Crown Plaza Hotel in Nashua, New Hampshire. And finally today, we know you've been waiting for two important bits of news from Fantasy of Flight's Father's Day contest. One was, who was judged World's Greatest Dad and won the ride in the museum's pristine World War II Fiesler Fi-156 Storch? That would be Lee Baxt of Tampa, who brought his family to Kermit Weeks' amazing attraction to enjoy their VIP tour of the facility with other winners, and to watch Lee enjoy his 30-minute flight with FOF pilot Ken Kellett in the vintage Liaison plane. But I just know your other question had to be, what do you write in an essay contest to win such an awesome prize? Well, Lee's daughter Emily wrote this, quote, "My dad encourages me to be exactly who I want to be. He wants me to experience the adventures that life has to offer. He has taught me to aim high and reach for the stars. I'm so blessed to have such a wonderful relationship with him," unquote. And on behalf of all you who are fathers, I have to observe that for the rest of his life, that essay will mean far more to Lee than any airplane ride, even one in a storage. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Rick Perry of the Aircraft Electronics Association fills in some detail on the FCC's announced ban on the use of legacy emergency locator transmitters. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.